Are there gaps in the Genesis genealogies? Hello, it's Calvin Smith here, and welcome to Creation Basics, where our goal is to make God's creation part of your everyday conversation. Today's question is, are there gaps in the Genesis genealogies? I mean, have you ever been reading your Bible and you started reading these begats? You know, this person begat this person, who begat that person, and you're thinking, well, why is this even here in the Bible? Well, it's more important than you might think. You see, most people just believe that these genealogies contain only kind of dull details, but since every word is given by the inspiration of God, these passages contain vital truths. You see, Genesis 5 and 11 contain two such genealogies, and if you're not in Christian academia, you might be surprised to know that they're actually two of the more controversial chapters in the Bible in academia. Although it wasn't always that way. Why? Well, it's because so many Christians and Christian leaders have accepted ideas like the Big Bang and millions of years of Earth history. They've tried to work out ways to incorporate long ages into the Bible's historical account. In other words, they try to convince people that the Bible's genealogical records don't present an unbroken line of chronology, because if it exists, then we should be able to calculate dates concerning when God created. Now, a straightforward addition of the chronogenealogies yields a date for the creation beginning near 4000 BC. Chronologists working from the Bible consistently get 2000 years between Adam and Abraham, and few would dispute. I mean, even many secular archaeologists would believe that there was a guy named Abraham that lived around 2000 BC. So anyway, many Christian leaders, though, claim that these gaps that exist are there. One of their arguments is that the word begat, as used in the timeline from the first man Adam to Abraham in Genesis 5 and 11, can skip generations. And if this argument were true, then the date for creation using the biblical timeline of history, well, it can't be worked out. In a recent debate, a well-known progressive creationist stated that he believed a person could date Adam back 100,000 years from the present. And since most modern scholars place the date of Abraham around 2000 BC, the remaining 96,000 years would have to fit between Adam and Abraham. That's a lot of missing people. But anyway, I mean, think about it. If we estimate to say 40 years equals one generation, this means that 2,500 generations are missing from these genealogies. But this makes the genealogies ridiculously meaningless. But those who claim that there are gaps in these genealogies, well, they need to demonstrate that from the Bible, not just say they exist. So let's show just two of many arguments to show why we should trust them as plainly written. Consider the following. These chronogenealogies have a very distinct structure they follow, saying when X, whoever is being named, was A years old, he begat Y. He lived B years after he begat Y and died at the age of C years. So basically A plus B equals C. It doesn't matter if the son was a direct son, adopted son, grandson, or any other argument the skeptics might want to make. It's simple math. Again, when X was A years old, he begat Y. He lived B years after he begat Y and died at the age of C years. A plus B equals C. Well, here's a second as many good reasons to trust these as direct lineages. We know. For certain that many are literal father-son relationships because of the text. Here's a list. Adam to Seth, Seth to Enosh, Lamech to Noah, Noah to Shem, Eber to Peleg, and Terah to Abram. Nothing in these chapters indicate that the X begat Y means something other than a literal father-son relationship. But there are two more reasons for why these genealogies are so vital. First, they're given in Scripture to show clearly that the Bible is real history and that we're all the descendants of a real man, Adam. Thus, all human beings are related. Second, the Son of God stepped into history to fulfill the promise of a Savior in Genesis 3:15. The Savior died and rose again to provide a free gift of salvation to the descendants of Adam, all of whom are sinners and are separated from their Creator. Without the genealogies, how can it be proven that Jesus is the one who would fulfill this promise? Indeed, perhaps the primary purpose of the genealogies is to show that Jesus fulfilled the promise of God the Father. So, are there gaps in the Genesis genealogies? No. We can trust these genealogies because they're part of an infallible, inerrant Word of God.